91.3 FM.
What's up, Unit of Vibes? It's your girl, PNC Princess Natasha Tanza, and you are listening to the Power Breakfast Show with Shekinah and Fortress. Let's get it.
Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News. FM News.
President Duterte reaffirms his commitment to enhance bilateral ties with the globe to enhance development.
Rhino kills wildlife officer while on duty in Lusaka National Park. In international news, teacher strike in Gabon continues to paralyze education system.
In sports news, Red Arrows Women FC unveil new kit, land extender sponsorship.
And now, the Power FM News.
With upfront and reliable news every day, I'm Shekinah Sakala.
And I'm Grace Wanji. Government has confirmed the death of a wildlife police officer who was fatally injured by a white rhino while on duty in Lusaka National Park. Minister of Tourism Principal Public Relations Officer Nelly Banda has identified the deceased as Officer Elijah Kayaya, aged 28, who died on the 26th of January 2026 during routine wildlife protection operations. Ms. Banda added that the Officer Kayaya was part of a team herding white rhinos to a safer area within the park when he was attacked by a female rhino. He sustained severe injuries and was immediately rushed to Chilenje Level 1 Hospital, where he was pronounced dead on arrival. The ministry has described the incident as deeply tragic and has paid tribute to the young officers' courage, dedication and selfless service in the line of duty. Government has conveyed its deepest condolences to the bereaved family, friends and colleagues of the late officer, noting that his service to the nation will not be forgotten and has reaffirmed ministry's commitment to strengthening safety measures, operational guidelines and support systems for frontline wildlife police officers.
And within a separate development this morning, President Hakainde Hichilema says Zambia is strengthening economic partnerships both within Africa and with the rest of the world as part of efforts to boost development. President Hichilema noted that trade among African countries remains low and has called for increased investment in Africa-to-Africa businesses to unlock the continent's economic potential. Speaking at State House during a ceremony where he received letters of credence from newly accredited ambassadors and high commissioners to Zambia, President Hichilema explained that Zambia's foreign policy is centered on security and economic growth, with a strong focus on investment and regional cooperation. He also has noted the changing global dynamics, saying that these developments strengthen the call for a more inclusive global order and a greater African representation on the United Nations Security Council. President Hichilema received credentials from the ambassadors of Germany and Japan, Sonke Seimon and Mikami Akiteru, respectively, as well as the High Commissioner of Ghana, Elizabeth Nyantaki. Others also include High Commissioner of Namibia, Gomes Matnet, and also the Ambassador of Colombia to Zambia, based in Pretoria, Maria Rosalio Mino Rojas.
Democratic Union leader Akem Njovu has called on government to consider taking deliberate measures that aim to empower small-scale miners as opposed to unleashing threats against them in an effort to curb illegal mining. Speaking in response to recent remarks by the Zambia Army commander on illegal mining, the opposition leader said government must take full responsibility for the problem, arguing that it has failed to address concerns in the mining sector. He said the current administration made several promises to illegal miners when it was in opposition and that has not fulfilled them since forming government. He noted that while the army's intention to protect national resources may be well-meaning, the use of threats is not a permanent solution. He warned that harsh measures could result in foreigners taking over mining areas, leaving local people excluded from benefiting from Zambia's natural resources. He emphasized that Zambians have the capacity to manage and benefit from their own mines and questioned government's continued preference for foreign participation at the expense of citizens. He urged government to support small-scale miners through formalization, access to resources and improved markets.
Instead of issuing threats like the army commander did, we should focus on addressing illegal mining activities with permanent solutions. Though the intention by the army might be good, my worry is that Zambians will continue suffering as we are likely to see foreigners being engaged to conduct mining activities in those areas at the expense of local people. Zambians have the capacity to run these mines and get the benefits. So I fail to understand government's appetite for wanting foreigners to get our resources while our people remain suffering. In this regard, I once again call for local participation in the mining industry because Zambians should benefit more from their natural resources. Instead of threatening to exterminate, we need to find ways of supporting small-scale miners and advocating for their formalization and access to better resources and markets.
And elsewhere still, the Patriotic Front in Central Province says it remains strong and united, despite what it calls deliberate attempts by the ruling UPND to destabilize the party. Central Province Chairperson Billy Sichamba says the PF continues to enjoy massive grassroots support and remains the people's preferred alternative ahead of the general elections. Speaking on the Power to the People program, Mr. Sichamba described the ongoing leadership disputes within the PF as a normal phase for a large political organization. He claimed that the intense interest in the party's presidency is driven by national belief that the PF is the only credible party capable of redeeming the country. Mr. Sichamba alleged that the confusion surrounding rival leadership factions is being fueled by external forces, accusing the ruling party of delaying court processes and supporting individuals not elected by party structures. Despite the absence of a single recognized party president, Mr. Sichamba insisted that the PF remains intact, pointing to the party's recent victory in the Tawama by-election as proof of its continued popularity.
When a political party, a giant like the Patriotic Front, where the Zambian people are looking at it as the option, the savior, party that will redeem them in this year's elections, you will always find a lot of people wanting to take over the reins of that party because they know that Ichichipani, Chiremonega Kwati, Echarateka, Nomwaka. You have seen other political parties, Wale Kwatama, conventions electing presidents with no problems. Why? Because no one is looking at them as possible victors in this year's election. That is internal conflict. But also there is conflict and issues, disturbances caused by external influences. I will not shy away to say that the ruling party also is scared of the PF because when they look at the PF. PF is an institution embedded in the people. A party without a president, a party with all this confusion, a party without identity, but identity is in the people that form that party, goes to win an election, beating a party in government with all their resources.
Minister of Tourism Rodney Sekumba says the government has supported more than 99 traditional ceremonies across the country over the past 4 years as part of a deliberate effort to promote national unity, cultural exchange and domestic tourism. Speaking on government support to the cultural sector, Mr. Sekumba explained that the assistance extended to traditional ceremonies was not merely ceremonial but aimed at creating opportunities for Zambians to experience and appreciate the country's diverse culture across provinces. According to Mr. Sekumba, out of the 99 traditional ceremonies supported by the Ministry of Tourism, President Hichilema personally attended close to 30, underscoring the government's recognition of the role traditional leadership plays in fostering cohesion. The minister further revealed that the government has actively encouraged inter-chiefdom participation, with chiefs from different regions attending and supporting ceremonies outside their own chiefdoms. Mr. Sekumba emphasized that the initiative has helped break long-standing regional barriers, noting that there is now no rigid divide between chiefs from the south, north or western parts of the country.
In international news, angered by a 10-year freeze on wages, thousands of teachers in Gabon have been on strike for the past 6 weeks, paralyzing the school system. It marks the first wave of social unrest under the rule of President Brice Oligui Nguema, who seized power in a military coup in August 2023. Despite agreeing to negotiations via mediator, the striking teachers have set preconditions for the resumption of classes. The collective behind the movement, which includes the National Union of Teachers, SENA, the National Union of Technical and Vocational Teachers, and SOS Education, notably want the release of two union members imprisoned for supporting the strike. While the SOS Education has called for the resumption of classes, teachers will be staying away from school still. Magloire Meigama, Secretary General of SENA, said that there's a long history behind the ongoing strike.
Still in